I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
During this time, it's more important than ever to support our friends and neighbors in the restaurant industry. Restaurant Workers Community Foundation has set up a national COVID-19 crisis relief fund. The money they raise will provide direct relief to individual restaurant workers, support other nonprofits serving restaurant workers in crisis, and offer zero-interest loans for restaurants to get back up and running. Visit restaurantworkerscf.org to donate today. And if you need a little extra motivation, you can DM your $20 donation to RWCF's co-founder, John DeBerry, on Twitter, and he'll give you directions for making a signature quarantine cocktail. Donate now at restaurantworkerscf.org.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. So we are not at our normal station once again. We're at home, but, you know, we've been not traveling for a few weeks now, thanks to COVID-19. And this pandemic seems like it's going to keep us in one place for quite a while yet. So how about a little vicarious traveling at this point? I think that cookbooks are one of the best ways to really transport yourself to another place. And that's why I love to collect cookbooks that are really region specific and really offer you a feast of visuals about a certain place. And of course, the most delectable recipes from a certain place and a little bit of history and culture along the way. So one place I love to go to, and for some reason, I tend to go to this place with my friends around this time of year, for some reason, I don't know, spring. We go to the Hamptons sometimes for a weekend from the city. It's great for biking. I used to do a ride to Montauk. It's great for eating, of course, though. The seafood, the lunch lobster roll place that you can see from the highway, the clam bars, the galore, the wineries, the Wolfer Estate Rosé, and then the culture, the Jackson Pollock House, the Parish Art Museum, the Montauk Lighthouse, just you name it. It's just a fascinating place to go visit. So I'm very sad we cannot go there right now, but I am so thrilled to have on this show today the two authors, co-authors of The Hamptons Kitchen Cookbook, Seasonal Recipes Pairing Land and Sea. So joining us on the phone from The Hamptons, it is Hillary Davis and Stacey Dermott. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. So, Hillary, I'm very, very bummed that you can't be hanging out with me right now, because I had the pleasure of having you come on the show in person a couple times for your first book, which was French Comfort Food, and then your follow-up, French Desserts, which...
Yeah, we had fun, didn't we? But you know what I was thinking today? I was looking for recipes to do this afternoon. And your blog was the first place I went. And the reason I did was it must have been just not eating out in New York. I mean, how perfect is your blog right now? It's just amazing. And the one I picked I'm going to do later is the Ukrainian cabbage dumplings.
Oh, wow. Yes, I love those.
I have all the ingredients because this is stuff I have in my cabinet.
Oh, so good.
So I'm going to do that, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Hillary. That's so nice to hear. Yeah, I mean, for better or for worse, not eating out in New York is sort of the main
routine.
Wow, thanks so much. And Stacey, so you have been a longtime food writer. You were the food critic in the Hamptons at Dan's Papers for almost a decade. And
that's me. And I also had a weekly column called The Hamptons Epicure, where I explored wine and food and personalities.
A real mover and shaker of the Hamptons food community. And you've been working on farms and it sounds like a whole lot of projects up your sleeve. So the first thing I have to ask you ladies is, you know, Hamptons is so associated with its rich dining culture, its winery culture, its overall tourism culture. So, and that's in peril right now, just across the country. What are you seeing around you? What are some, I don't know if you've seen any like efforts to mobilize, like in New York City, for example, we've seen restaurants cooking up a storm for essential workers or something like that, or becoming, transforming into grocery stores. So what are some like positive for, or you know, maybe negative? What are you seeing around you these days?
We're seeing some really moving sights. People really care about each other out here all the time. Right now, it's really coming to the fore. We do have a lot of restaurants producing hot meals for healthcare workers and emergency workers, lunch and dinner. And there's a lot of places you can go on the web and actually donate a meal. You can pay for a meal for a healthcare worker, which is lovely. And it's keeping our very talented chefs and restaurant staff in business. And also here in Sag Harbor, just down the street, Provisions Natural Foods is not open to the public now. They've converted into a web store and they're not delivering, but they're doing curbside pickup. And so we on the East End can still get our very vital supplements and our organic foods and drinks. And they're just knocking themselves out to make that happen.
Wow. It's really encouraging and inspiring when you see everyone working together.
You know what I'm seeing too, that's making me, I was planning a garden and a lot of people are planting victory gardens. It's reminiscent of a war response. I'm just coining it a victory garden, but I see a lot of people who had never gardened. You know, they're used to just having things appear in abundance. And it's hard to get seeds even now online, but some of the, like Quail Hill Farm has, you know, will deliver dirt. I was asking Stacy where to get, you know, more dirt, more compost. We're all sharing our sources so that we can plant nice big gardens. And I find that a positive note, a light of hope, because people learn, they learn how to garden, they know where their food is coming from, and they're learning how to cook. So in the long run, we're going to get out of this. And the beauty of it is that we'll come out with something beautiful from it.
I love that. Yeah, I've been seeing that too, Hillary. And you know what? I think that's a great positive as well. And Stacy, I know that you're pretty plugged into the farm community. And of course, farms are affected by this too, because they sell to restaurants a lot. So, you know, what can we do? Are you seeing any efforts for what can we do to help out all these great Long Island, Hamptons, North Fork, South Fork farms?
Well, funny you should ask, because in our cookbook, we really stress the vitality of shopping locally and cooking seasonally. And if we all do that, we'll be a lot better off, because then we're not reliant so much on the supply chains and, you know, foreign products. I'm going to drive over to my friend's farm in Sagaponack later and see what's going on. I think they're probably pretty set. They've got their gas, they've got their seeds, you know, it's planting season. And I think our farmers are really going to come together and probably produce more than ever before
for
us.
That's amazing. And yes, I think that one of the consequences of this is people eating local, and it's like not even, you know, it's almost like a necessity.
Yeah, and also people are doing a thing called cooking a lot more now.
Well, your book, I mean, is so mouth-watering. I was saying to our engineer, Jeet, that he needs to take a look at this one because it's – and I love the pared-down aesthetic. So, you know, the Hamptons has this a great association with, like, a more rustic and laid-back lifestyle. Yeah. And the food really reflects the simplicity of – fresh, seasonal, you know, straight scooped from the sea that morning.
Yeah, that's really what we're going for. And while you're at it, why not have a glass of local wine, you know?
So in, dishes along those lines that really just stood out to me are like the poached cod and clams in buttered broth. I mean, does it get more simple than that?
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. Or fisherman soup with fresh tomatoes and basil oil. You know, that you go through the seasons here, which I love. And later on in winter, there's a fondue-filled baked acorn squash with chunks of country corn.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that the recipes you're mentioning right now are all by Hillary, and I know she was influenced very much by her time in France, but all the recipes in this book are very simplified, and maybe she'd like to talk about that.
But they're simplified. Well, they're French inspired, but I think when you get to the Hamptons and you slip into the warm water and relax, you know, you take what you have around you, and then you just use the techniques that you bring from whatever village or country you come from when you move here. So mine are using whatever I knew from living in France. Stacy worked and lived on farms. And so she has that great agriculture background, and she uses her knowledge. And I think that's why we put together our heads and said, we've got to do a book, because I sort of represent all these people that come to live here and visit from around the world. We're bringing in our, you know, different cultures, but Stacy is sort of the local roots of the tree, and we're the branches. And, you know, I think it's been a good collaboration, because we're showing what it's really like out here. Mm-hmm. It's not a bunch of fancy restaurants and people walking around in high heels and pearls. It's all of us are from everywhere and running down to our local market for our produce, now out into our Victory Gardens. That's basically the flavor of the
book. And, you know, I guess nowadays...
The melding.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, the melding of those two cultures, and it's quite unique for the Hamptons, because we get this international crowd that either lives here or visits. And so we all bring our, you know, different ways of cooking. And then Stacy is, as I said, the roots of the tree. She's our anchor. And so when you meld those two together in a cookbook, it really does portray the true Hamptons. And it's something you could portray any neighborhood in the country, where you have that melding of the local and then the transplants that come in, how the cuisine develops in a local tiny spot. So it's interesting.
Well, Stacy, do you want to talk to that a little bit? How has the cuisine evolved thanks to all the transplants, or just the passage of time over the years?
Yeah, I've lived here for 20 years and I have seen some evolution. We pick up the trends from Manhattan in our local restaurants. You know, pig's ears were a thing a couple of years ago.
Really? Okay.
But that was trendy. I think we're over that now.
Oh, I see the whole nose to tail eating.
You know.
Right. Yep.
I mean, I guess it's still with us to some degree, but veganism is really picking up on the East End these days, as it is everywhere. And I just can't stress enough not just the fact of eating local is good for you and good for the environment, but it's the best way to eat from a taste standpoint, because when you're eating things seasonally, they're at their peak, you know, that's the best they can be. And this book really, though it's regional to the Northeast United States, we really hope that perhaps other regions will take a look at it and say, oh yeah, holistic approach. This is the way to go. You know, the food, the wine, and also we have a recipe for compost.
Yeah.
I hope everybody uses it.
I mean, no doubt, like what you're saying about how, you know, this book really represents the roots and the humble roots, I guess, of Hamptons-based cooking. You know, a lot of people might associate the Hamptons nowadays with high heels or commercialism galore. But actually... Yeah, you take it back to the roots. And I love this section that you have called where's it go? It was like how to not waste a thing. Yeah, nothing goes to waste.
It goes to waste, yeah. Yeah, my compost heap is my favorite part of the garden, because I'm strange like that. But maybe I'm just ahead of my time because... I just love that a compost heap is always producing, you know, gold from garbage all year long. And when it snows, it steams. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, we'll need that for all the folks that are just digging into the soil, literally, for their victory gardens. So I love that you have, you know, all these trimmings that can be used to make a wonderful stock, for instance. So, you know, if it doesn't go into your compost, you can save the carrot greens or the corn cobs, celery egg trimmings, pepper trimmings, all that good stuff. And then bones, of course, lobster shells. This is good stuff.
Yeah, and we do use some of those items in some of the recipes.
Mushrooms, stems, you name it. I love that. Yeah. I mean, this is nothing new, but it's actually a huge part of a lot of the soups. I mean, we associate the Hamptons with, at least I do, with a lot of chowders and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. We have the requisite clam chowder. And Hillary has a lobster, what is it, a lobster bisque, Hillary?
Lobster and corn chowder. You know, the first one of the first times I cooked for Stacy, she came over and she disappeared into the backyard, and it's sort of a manicured backyard. And she arrived about 10 minutes later back into the kitchen, and she had her hands full of things that she had foraged in the backyard for us to put into our food. And she also walked down the street after lunch and foraged fresh baby bamboo shoots. Not only does that say something about Stacy, this is pretty cool, but it says something about what you can do in a place where you live and the little joys you can find, and why, you know, it's so delightful to be that aware of what's growing
Absolutely.
Around you.
I want to stay on that note, actually, and talk a little bit about your background in farming and also many of the dishes that you've contributed, and all the dishes throughout this book. But we are going to cut to a quick little commercial interlude, and we'll be right back chatting more.
During this time, it's more important than ever to support our friends and neighbors in the restaurant industry. Restaurant Workers Community Foundation has set up a national COVID-19 crisis relief fund. The money they raise will provide direct relief to individual restaurant workers, support other nonprofits serving restaurant workers in crisis, and offer zero interest loans for restaurants to get back up and running. Visit restaurantworkerscf.org to donate today. And if you need a little extra motivation, you can DM your $20 donation to RWCF's co-founder, John DeBerry, on Twitter, and he'll give you directions for making a signature quarantine cocktail. Donate now at restaurantworkerscf.org.
Okay, we're back with the co-authors of The Hamptons Kitchen, Seasonal Recipes Pairing Land and Sea. This book just came out from Countryman Press. Its authors are Hillary Davis and Stacy Dermott. And there's also a foreword by Gail Green. So welcome back.
Yeah, we really want to give a shout out to Gail. She's our inspiration and our hero. And she's not in the best place right now because there are no restaurants to review in New York City right now.
Well, how did she inspire your work or this book?
Oh, my goodness. Gail Green slept with Elvis and made a living writing about food before I was born. It's how she inspired me.
Pretty badass.
Actually, Gail Gail was the one that actually convinced us that our idea was good, and she definitely thought we should do the cookbook together. So that's, we sort of love her. She comes and stays and spends time with both of us.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. She's I'm so glad that she wrote a loving foreword for your book. And I'm sorry that you can't be touring around for this book's release. That's kind of a bummer, but maybe at some point, just put it off and do. Yeah.
Sure, we're willing.
No, but you're absolutely right in that cooking is one, you know, thing that a lot of people are getting into now. And, you know, this book has a little bit of everything for any kind of a diet. Although if you don't like seafood, I'm not sure how many. Well, actually, no, there's plenty of recipes without seafood in it. But Stacey, you come from a farming background, and you mentioned that you're from the complete opposite end of New York State. So the Allegheny Mountains near Appalachia, is that correct?
That is correct. Where I'm from, Cattaraugus County, that's the county below Erie County where Buffalo is. That is the northernmost point of Appalachia. It's where, you know, Appalachia overlaps with the Rust Belt, but it's a beautiful, beautiful country. And I loved living there, but, you know, not a lot to see or do other than working on the farm. And I like to cook with my mother and my grandmothers. And I was not actually allowed to. It was a dairy farm. I was not allowed to milk cows because I was supposed to go to college. So I've been trying to get back to farming my whole
life.
It's
true that we run away from what we're supposed to do or rebel against what we're supposed to do.
We do. In fact, you know, cooking down lard every year was something we did. And my grandmother's converted to Crisco like the year it came out in 1911 because they were so sick of that lard.
But and now you're gone.
You do what you can. It still makes a great pie. Yeah, there's a recipe in the book for my great-great-grandmother's apple pie. We call it farmhouse apple pie. And I think it's very good, yeah. And we suggest you serve it with cheddar cheese because that's the way.
That sounds like a wonderful, savory, sweet, classic combo. Now, I'm also intrigued by this one that you have. It's in the dessert section. Chocolate sauerkraut layer cake with sea salt caramel glaze. So this is a family recipe? Tell me more.
Have you made it yet?
Okay.
You know, it was very popular where I'm from in North Otto, but I think that it was somewhat trendy in the 1970s. I haven't really found an old recipe for it, but some people I bring it up to say, oh, I haven't had that in years. But it's something that was popular, I believe. And, you know, the sauerkraut, you don't taste the sauerkraut. It just lends this really lovely, moisturous texture to the cake.
I mean, that's just like a new one for me. So I'm so glad that you're sharing and passing this one on. It's fascinating. I mean, all these secrets from different regions that, you know. It's all good. And, you know, so
it's all good.
In the introduction in the book of the book, which Hillary writes, she kind of makes a connection between the French Riviera, where you lived for 11 years, and the cuisine of the Hamptons. Yeah. What are some similarities, you think?
The similarities for me were because I had never been here. I lived abroad for so long, and when I came here, it was almost like being back home on the Riviera. And I think what it is this peninsula or this island we're on, we're hugged on one side by the ocean, on the other side by a bay, and we have all this farmland in between. And on the Riviera, you're sort of slammed up against the ocean, and then there's the mountains. And I think the quality of the light, you know, because of the ocean, the water molecules or whatever in the air, the light is very golden, just like the Riviera. It felt very homey to me. And all the farms and where you could just drive down the road and find homemade goat's cheese being sold on a little rickety wooden stand. It's like where I lived. And the food culture, and also the Riviera is very international.
That's
just
true.
As the Hamptons are very international. We all come to live here. It's a resort. So it resonated. And both places have cuisines. The restaurants we have great Greek food. We have great all kinds of Japanese and Asian and Portuguese in the Hamptons. And you have that on the Riviera as well, because you're right up against Italy. Mm-hmm. So I just felt very at home here. And almost liberated, you know, because it has so much to offer as far with the food culture here. And people are very serious about the food culture here, which is the same thing that I had there. So
And I just have to ask, you know, for I'm not like, you know, too great at the history of the people who, you know, kind of like made the Hamptons what it is. Of course, the indigenous communities are really the ones who established the Hamptons, of course. But, you know, the food culture, I'm curious, you know, if there is a French influence in this area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, certainly it was initially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was basically Portuguese.
I mean,
from
well, when the wealthy people started to buy property in the late 19th century, you know, they wanted to imitate the fancy French restaurants in New York, and we had a lot of those.
Got it. So it's a little bit it follows along with like New York City, a little bit. Cool. So,
yeah.
But you had the whaling community in Sag Harbor also being fostering a certain kind of cuisine. And you know, it's just been a mix all the way along. It's not really one thing. The only, you know, it's a mix.
Right, right. You can't just say this is the, you know, there's plenty of Italian American food. There's plenty of like French influenced food and so forth. So it's like, yeah. Okay. A lot of these, recipes are great for something like, I mean, I want to throw a party like right now. I want to throw a backyard, cookout or a brunch party. But I can't. What would you recommend folks do, to throw their own little, maybe smaller, but nice occasion? I know a lot of people are just looking forward to pretending to hang out with friends over, you know, Zoom conferences, or just pretending they're at a restaurant by treating themselves to a really nice meal. So what kind of dishes do you recommend?
Well, I think they should all buy this book and make the recipes and then connect online.
Absolutely.
And
is there anything that strikes you as like perfect for this moment that we're in?
Yes.
Well, I think Hillary's, what are they, chocolate coffee cookies are really cool for right now.
You know, if you do get the book on page 198, I've got a recipe for individual crudité. Crudité is always something you share. You know, everybody double dips and, you know, and I have a recipe here and you just make up your own, but, an individual, everybody gets their own crudité little platter on a little piece of board or wax paper, and I've got a little quick recipe for cilantro hummus.
Ooh.
And side it with some miso cheddar cookies, which are actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that would be one I would start with.
I'm eyeing the savory mushroom bread pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And the duck breast, of course.
Mm, yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And we also, in addition to being a cookbook, it's largely a guide to the East End. We have a list of resources and a sort of recipe for a East End cheese board. So we tell you all about the different cheeses.
And I know that a lot of, you know,
and that would be a good way to go too.
Artisanal cheesemakers, even wineries, they're offering online sales direct to consumer. Right.
Yes. Yes, they are, and
right.
A lot of them are also
so
delivering.
This resource is actually really terrific.
You can't
miss. You know, you can go straight to, I mean, you can check it out, but you have the website for all these, you know, Milk Pail Fresh Market. There's Meacock's Bay Daria, Loaves and Fishes Food Store. You know, a lot of great Montauk Brewing Company. I don't know if they can deliver. Amagansett Sea Salt. I'm pretty sure Amagansett Sea Salt, they have an online shop.
I hope so.
So you know, this is really great to get your digital shopping on. Well, yeah, and order something.
That's true.
So we don't have too much time left, but last but not least, I do want to talk about this classic dish, which there's a little bit of a controversy about what is the classic version of it. But I'm talking about, of course, the Long Island clam chowder. One of my favorite soups of all time. What is the version that Long Island clam chowder has laid claim to?
Well, a lot of people will tell you it's a version that has tomatoes in it. But I think when you go back far enough, you realize tomatoes didn't really make it to the East End, you know, to local gardens until the late 19th century. So they were definitely eating clam chowder a long time before that. So I'm going to go with the
milky version. And I love this milky version. It has big parsley butter croutons in it, which look delightful. And bacon. That's like a must-have, right? Yukon gold potatoes.
Definitely.
And of course, fresh clams. I mean,
yeah, right. Very fresh.
Okay.
Never overcook your clams. That's key.
But I love how that, you know, arguments will abound about these things. Is it red based? Is it not? Is it whatever? So thanks for doing the history.
Oh yeah.
on this, Stacy. I see there's like a fun history. I mean, yeah, Spanish and Portuguese took tomatoes to Europe, and then they introduced it to the New World. And I mean, there's just so much rich history behind each dish, really, that we can soak up. So I'm going to, oh my goodness, pecanic based scallops with Riesling cream. That's you, Hillary, isn't it? When I see Riesling, I'm like, that must be Hillary's influence there. I'll never forget that Riesling chicken stew in French comfort food. Oh my goodness. With grapes. I love that one too.
Oh, I love that. Oh, so when it all blows over here, Kathy, come out and take a walk on the beach. Have a glass of wine.
Meanwhile, I'm going to be cooking up a storm. Thanks to your wonderful cookbook. And I hope that everyone gets their hands on it. It is The Hamptons Kitchen, just out from Countryman Press. And, take a vacation vicariously to the Hamptons with it. So thank you again so much, Hillary Davis and Stacy Dermott.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So thanks, everyone at Heritage. Thank you, Jeet, our engineer. And we'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Eat Your Words is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.